how did you get started in radio?
Well, you were a baby. I think you were maybe not even a year old. And I was at home. I was a young mother. I was 24. Your dad was out working to support us. And there I was, alone with a baby in a teeny little apartment on the University of Denver campus, or very close to it. And I started listening to the radio, and I got captivated by KCFR, which is now Colorado Public Radio, but then was a 10-watt FM station that was licensed to DU. And it was experimental and community and really fun, and became my friend. And I was also listening to a commercial, one of the commercial stations that was a talk radio. And I first tried to go and get a job at that station, and they didn't even give me a nod. And then I ended up at KCFR, and they said, well, we can't pay you anything, but you can certainly come and learn how to do radio. So I did. And I was there 3 years. They did employ me for a while. And, you know, I started doing production and did my first on-air music DJ shifts there. And I went to Washington a few times. And this was, you know, new days for National Public Radio and for the whole public media system.
Right. So there was, it seems like there was this wave of radios, community radios, that started sort of in this late 70s and early 80s. And this was because I guess there was just a lot of grant money available for radio stations to get started. And you were, this is when you were starting to get involved. Well, you started to get involved earlier than that, but,
Well, there was some proselytizing going on. Lorenzo Milam, the author of Sex and Broadcasting, which is really a handbook of how to start a community radio station, he was out kind of Johnny Appleseeding community radio wherever he could go. So that was happening. It was, you know, post-60s, end of 60s, early 70s. And then further on into the 70s, 80s, and even early 90s, maybe, all these little community stations were being born. And National Federation of Community Broadcasters was, it was around, it was an idea whose time had come, maybe. And then later on in the 70s, we did have CETA funds, CETA, Comprehensive Employment Training Act funds. Known as Mamacita. And, you know, they would give you, you could actually get kind of almost next to a living wage, you know, at bare bones, to do something creative and like community radio.
So you've been sort of involved in community radio with a few short breaks to work in print media, but for my entire lifetime. So
yeah, well, just shortly after you were born. So yeah.
Why do you stay so long? It's your longest relationship, isn't it? Don't you have a song about that?
Yes, I do. When I was at KGNU for 20 years, I wrote a song about I have an affair with KGNU. It's lasted lots longer than a marriage or two. Yeah, that's how it began. Well, I've got to say it's a very fun thing to be involved in. I think the basis of it for me has always been fun, or the delight of fulfilling a creative idea. You know, the great thing about radio is pretty cheap. It's immediate. And you have an idea about a clever promotion or something you want to put on the air or something you want to put on a play or something like that. And you can just ba-bang, you can do it. It's kind of an elastic, flexible, inexpensive medium. And I've loved being in the community radio environment because of the autonomy and creativity that it often inspires. And I think when it does it, there's just nothing as cool. Of course, people can get stuck in ruts and so on and so on. We can have some bad moments on community radio, but you know, mostly it's fun.
When did you know that I liked it as well? When was that apparent?
Well, I don't know. You were involved in it as a teen. It seems like you didn't really lock on to it until later. It seemed like to me you got the most interested in it and the possibilities of it when you were at alternative radio.
Yeah. Were you worried about me?
Yeah. How will she ever make a living? Yeah. No, I thought I was sort of surprised, but it's not as exciting as being in film but it is, you know, it has its advantages, which I just tried to enumerate.
What do you think are the qualities of a good staff person at a public radio station are?
Well, flexibility and a real love of people. You have to really like people in general. And I think you have to believe in the general innate goodness of people. Because if you don't, it can be kind of torture for you because everyone's faults and ego can rise and be seen often. And so, you know, you can find things to not like about people in the situation. But I think you have to be a people person. You have to be flexible. The more creative you are, the better. Self-directed. You need all kinds of skills, obviously, from staff people. I mean, you really do need an engineer, techie, geek person. You really do need a crazy, creative, spontaneous person. You need all those kinds of things to make an interesting stew in a staff. But yeah, I would say flexibility and really liking people and creativity. Those are the main qualities that I look for. Cooperation, people who can collaborate and cooperate.
Can you talk about some of the more memorable volunteers or just moments in your life working in community radio that stand out to you?
Well, you never know who's going to walk through your door in terms of guests or volunteers. I mean, that's one of the things I love about community radio is that at any time someone can walk in your door and say, I really want to learn how to do this. And they'll become a valuable, amazing contributor and participant in your community and community radio for a long time. You know, that's very exciting. And I've seen that happen. I've seen people blossom in particular ways that are really gratifying, you know. And of course, there's kind of characters that you could sort of archetypes of community radio. You know, there's the geeky engineer type and, you know, the person who really only relates to the technical aspect of the station. And, you know, met so many people like that, and they're endearing characters, but there are you know, they definitely fit this a certain archetype that's who's attracted to the station. There's the sort of Earth Mother. I've seen a lot of those in community radio. I've seen, particularly with men DJs, I've seen real brilliant programmers, either music or talk, but they're super prima donnas. You know, that's a type.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
No,
I know you've
never experienced such a thing.
Never happens. You know, when I was really active in community radio, when I was at KGNU and I was going to a lot of national conferences, I really felt I could find analogs for pretty much anybody at our station and in other community radio stations. And that's, you know, you and I have talked, and I know others who have been involved in community radio talk about doing a film or a TV series or, you know, mm-hmm. a play. It's rich with drama and opportunities. In a way, it's all inside jokes.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's so many endearing characters that you meet in this life.
I wanted to just ask you about the difference between public and community radio, because I didn't understand the difference for a long time, and differences in terms of like percentage of people who are volunteers from your community and everything. But I'm also interested in what you think the difference between the two in more along the lines of like sound and feeling.
The primary difference is that community radio has volunteers from the community involved in every aspect of the station, including programming. And public stations leave that to the professionals, sometimes entirely to NPR or the public radio system, where there's almost no local presence. And all you're really getting is a stream of national programming, which, of course, is highly professional, most of it. But at community radio, you have people who just walked in yesterday, practically, and, you know, you showed them where to turn the knobs and dials, and suddenly you've given them the license to your precious FCC license, and there they are broadcasting to God knows who, and also online all over the planet, you know. So there's this massive amount of trust right at the beginning of a community radio station career. So what you hear on the air is your neighbor. It's a very different thing. Even if your neighbor is highly professional and sounds great and doesn't, you know, fumble around with the knobs and dials and doesn't have technical difficulties constantly. I mean, even if you have a very smooth operator, there's still a personal connection. And I think that makes a big, huge difference in how people listen and how they respond. And of course, if the person is less than professional, you know, that's the thing that people make fun of about community radio. And you do have to excuse a bit, but, you know, it's amazing, really, how really proficient most people can become at doing it as an amateur. But you're going to hear not only different kind of music than you would hear from a professional programming, but you're going to hear different interests come out in the news and public affairs. You're going to hear different slants on everything. You're going to hear from the farmer as well as the housewife, as well as the seamstress, as well as the brewer. You know, you get a real, it's just a real patchwork and can be super interesting and a bit of the unexpected there. I had kind of a crossroads early in this career, and I just was so much more interested in the community radio avenue, even though it's seen as a lesser kind of form of public radio than the others, and it's been dissed in the industry for the entire time I've been in it, you know, called sandbox radio and made fun of, and you know, they trying to bring us up to snuff all the time, and yeah, that all happened. And that was, you know, the people who should have been supporting us. That was the Corporation for Public Broadcasting saying those things. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, it's a, and to say that it's fun as kind of the ultimate reason you're doing it, it just sounds weird, but I think that's what it comes down to. I've been willing to take a lower salary just to be somewhere that I enjoyed every day, you know, where I wasn't ashamed. I didn't hate the mission. I didn't feel we were ruining the planet. I, you know, it's something positive that I could believe in and feel like we were doing something positive for people.